All right, ladies, we're going to get started. And so we will start in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time for us to just gather together as moms. Lord, we just lift this time to you. We thank you, Lord, for our children and the homes that you have blessed us with. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my name is Vicky, and today I'm going to talk about cleaning our house. This was a subject that many people did not want to teach on, so I got the privilege of teaching on this. It's cleaning our house with children. So we'll cover two different parts. One, just house cleaning, and then the other part that we'll cover is how do you do that with children of all ages. I put out on your tables a piece of paper. It says top 10 time wasters for women. So if you guys can just take a look at that, I'm going to briefly read over these top 10 time wasters. And if you can just take it home, look over it, pray over it. If these are things or areas that you seem to waste time on, then it might be needed to make some adjustments. So the first time waster, number one, is this right here. It's our phones. Being on a phone call, maybe messaging people, getting messages from people, and just before you know it, an hour, a couple hours might go by. The next time waster can also be our phones, used in a different way. So using social media, maybe scrolling through posts, watching YouTube or watching other movies, and making this more of a priority than your home. So the third time waster, and this, all of these are, it depends on you, how you are. So the third time waster would be reading novels or reading books. I personally, I've never been much of a book reader, and so to have me sit down and get lost in a book for hours, it just wouldn't happen, but it does happen to many other women. So if this is you, this could be a problem if you're wasting time in this. Okay, number four on the list, self-pity and worry. So sometimes we can, as women, lose time in doing this. Number five, lack of organization. The note here says, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. So this is another area. Number six, lack of discipline. This is a time waster. Number seven, trying to do everything at once. Very quickly, we can get overwhelmed if we try to tackle a project that's way too big. Number eight, inability to say no. This can be a time waster too, and as mothers, wives, and homemakers, we want to remember that those things come first in our life before other things. And then number nine, too much stuff. And this could be anywhere from clutter around the house. Sometimes if you just have a lot of clutter, you can feel kind of weighed down. And you could have things picked up, but then you look in certain areas and you just feel like just bogged down with that. And then number 10, inefficiency. So when the note here says, when cleaning up, don't carry one thing from one room to another. Have you guys done that where, okay, you go into the living room and you pick up a bunch of items, and then you come over, and then you just set them down on the kitchen counter. And then, so your piles just kind of move, and that's kind of inefficient. So again, this is just a list for you to take. Look over, pray about these things, and see if any of these items or any of these things on this list is something where you find yourself wasting time, and pray about that and see what needs to be adjusted in your schedule. So I do want to cover a Bible verse. It's actually my favorite Bible verse. And one of the reasons why it's my favorite, because it affects me as a mom and a wife, and I can apply this Bible verse to many different areas in my life. And I found it interesting when I was studying for what to teach on with this, of how to clean your house, I remembered, hey, my favorite Bible verse applies. So it's Proverbs 14:1, and it says, "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." Now, I have applied this verse to how I am as a wife towards my husband, building him up or tearing him down. I can apply this verse to my children, how I am as a mother. I can apply this verse how I am as a Christian in my home. But I can also apply this to cleaning my house. Because if I don't do the work, you know, if we don't take care of our house, it will overgrow. It'll overtake us. And it'll eventually come destroyed. And I'm sure some of you, I don't know, I hope I'm not the only one, but sometimes you just feel like you're drowning in your house. And it seems like, how am I going to get to all this work? A couple other Bible verses to look at later on your own is Titus 2:3-4. And then also, I want you to look at Proverbs 31. Many times when we're told to study Proverbs 31, we can look at this list of this amazing wife, and we can feel overwhelmed and think, oh my goodness, how can that ever be me? I can't possibly do all these things on this list. But think of the seasons in your life that God has you in and will have you in. And I think of Proverbs 31 as different seasons in my life. I've done some of those roles. And also think of it when you're reading it, think of your house and how many times it references her hands taking care of things. And then not being lazy, you know, no lack of laziness in her. So look over that. And we're going to jump in to some things that really just helped me as a wife and a mom take care of the house. One tool that I used that was so helpful, it's actually a website, and you can actually get the app too. I have the app here on my phone, and I will walk down here real quick and show you guys. See this little, so it's called flylady.com, and if you think of like a bug flying, so Fly Lady. And so this is a site that you can go to online, or they have the app. And it was so helpful for me. I found this site when there was no app at the time. All there was online on the computer. And it was so helpful. One of the things that I learned, I'll tell you two main points from this app that helped me. One is this woman encouraged me to what she calls shine her sink. And so she had said, every night before you go to bed, make sure your dishes are done and your sink is clean. And when you wake up in the morning, you come out to a clean sink. And the idea is shine your sink at night. And I will tell you the difference when I wake up and I go into the morning, I go into my kitchen, when I see a mess or a sink full of dishes it's instantly, I feel this weight. And I feel like the day just started, but I'm already behind. When I wake up and I walk in and I see empty sink, it's like, oh, it just feels so good. And it feels like, okay, yeah, this is a great way to start the day. So that was a habit that I started years ago. And the other one, and this really depends on you. It depends on the size of your family. But the other point that she suggested on her site that was really helpful was doing laundry daily. For me, I had a family of six. Now, depending where we lived, where we were at in our stages of life, depended on the amount of laundry we had. So when we lived in America and we had the lovely washer and dryer, so family of six, and at that point it was, you know, all different ages, but they about stopped right here, and then my husband and I. And so what I did was two loads a day. If I could do two loads of laundry a day, I never got behind on laundry, and it never got, like, never took over me, where I would feel weighed down and feel, like, overwhelmed with clothes and laundry. So that was something I learned early on, was that in my mind, okay, all I have to do is get through two loads. If I get through two loads, it'll be okay. And even if I was behind, if I just got back on track with those two loads, it helped. Now, we moved to Myanmar, and no dryer, and the washer went from like this big size washer to these this little tiny washer with two areas. The one area where I could put five times the amount in my American washer to just one portion of that into this little hole. Okay, so maybe like five shirts and a couple shorts or something would fit. I'd have to fill it up by hand, like turn the water on, fill it up, turn the water off, have it wash, drain it, do it again, have it washed, drain it, and then I moved it from this little spot over to this little spot, fill it up again, drain it, and then spin. This was a spinner spot. And then I had to take that little pile, because there wasn't much, and we still had a family of six, and it was living in Myanmar, so we had more clothes, because we sweat, like, and I had no idea the nastiness of the smell of, like, I didn't know that kids could stink. Like, I knew that sweat smelt, but there is a special smell that comes from this climate. That being said, we had more laundry. And so then you would take out this little bit, walk up three flights, and then hang them on the roof outside to dry. Needless to say, I had a lot more laundry. And I was very overwhelmed with the amount of laundry. But I did realize that if I picked a number of loads a day, that helped. So, and it could change. I'm not going to give you a number because it all determines on you guys and your family size. But if you pick a number of loads and try to be consistent with that, then you won't get overwhelmed. Some people save all their laundry for all week until one day. If that works for you, that's really great. For me, it was overwhelming, and it was way too stressful. Now, with having kids, and you have all this laundry, I had my kids help with laundry. They were supposed to bring it from their room to the washer, depending on their age, and When I say depending on their age, like, I had my 2-year-old and 3-year-old taking the clothes with me, putting it in the washer. Like, so you can start training them young on how to do the laundry. Now, to expect anywhere from 2 to, I would say, 6-year-old to add soap and do the whole thing is really, I think, unrealistic. However, if you can do it, I guess so. But I would not expect that. So that's another thing to think of, is when you're going to have your children help, think of realistic expectations. Don't put expectations that are too high for them. However, remember that they could probably handle most of it, right? So if they're at the age, I'd say, with 8 and over, they can handle those expectations. But take it step by step. Now we're over here in Chiang Mai. This is a side note, but when we were in Myanmar, we were sick all the time. And we had every type of rash. I didn't even know rashes, like all these rashes existed. And the doctors that we were friends with in the U.S., they would say, I have no idea what these rashes are. I've never seen them. I don't know. But one of the things that we did to help is we got a dryer. So we got a dryer in Myanmar, and it would kill all the little bugs in the clothes that we couldn't see. Because when I was hanging some of the clothes, we found out that that's what some of the rashes were. So when we moved to Thailand, my need when moving here was, I need to have a dryer. That was for a personal request for me, because one, I was done with rashes and bugs, and not to say all bugs come. I never had a problem in Thailand. However, I just wanted to cover my bases. And then the other thing was, I knew the time. And for me, for our schedule and everything we have going, I needed a dryer. I needed to save that time. It was a priority. So now we have washer and dryer, and I am back too, because now we have a family of 4 living at home, not 6. And we're back to 2 loads a day. And again, if we do 2 loads a day, sometimes it's just 1 load because we're up on things. And except for when it's the day to wash bedding, that doesn't count. Like, I just think, okay, the bedding's the 2 loads for that day, and we just get caught up. So the tip for the sink and the laundry came from that site. Another thing that I learned from that site is cleaning zones. And you'll see in the middle of your table, there's paper and pens. So afterwards, I'm going to give you a couple activities to do together. And so on this site, she has, I believe, 5 cleaning zones. So I'm just going to go over that. So number 1 zone for her would be like the front area when you first walk into a house, the entrance. And the dining area. Again, your zones can change because of your house, of how it looks. You know, you kind of create your own zone and see what works for you. The kitchen is another zone. The living room is a zone. The bedrooms are a zone. She separates them. Some houses have a master bedroom where you have a bathroom attached. If that's the case, then that's its own zone. The other bedrooms without bathrooms, that would be a zone. And then a bathroom would be a zone. So different, basically you take your house and you break it up into areas. And you think about cleaning those areas. And what I would do is I always liked to make cleaning fun. Because if I looked miserable cleaning, then it does not encourage my kids to clean. It does not encourage them to want to help to clean. But if they see you having so much fun, they're kind of looking like, huh, like, maybe I want to try that out. I don't know why, but she looks pretty happy over there vacuuming. Like, I want to see about this vacuum. Like, is this fun? And so I remember when I'm going to give you this example in just case you have kids like this. Juliana, when she was about, I would say, 2 years old, so I had Genevieve in a carrier on my back, and I would do all my cleaning. I was going to dress up today and show you what I would look like, but I would have a baby on my back and a wooden spoon on my side, and that's how I was in the house all the time. So I used my baby carrier all the time, like in the house, out of the house, because I had multiple kids. So it was easier for me to have the baby carrier on, cleaning, doing things so I could get stuff done or spending time with the other kids. So anyways, Juliana was terrified of the vacuum. That vacuum turned on and she was like, oh. Also, another thing about Juliana is that she doesn't like change. So when you vacuum, like if you you should vacuum this way. I don't know how you vacuum, but not all the time, but you should vacuum this way. When you vacuum, you should move things to get underneath and, you know. Now, I don't do that every time I vacuum, but every now and then, you know, it's good to move things and then get underneath, right? So I would take, say, a chair, and I would scoot it like this, and she would be so frustrated, and she would want to move the chair back to where it belongs, you know? And and so I was like, oh my goodness, how is this going to work? Like, she's stressed. She's stressed because I'm moving everything. This kid does not like change at all. And well, she saw how I was having fun with the vacuum, and then I made the vacuum seem like, hey, this is so much fun. Look, I get to drive it like a big car. And so then she got to the point where she was helping me. She still didn't like me moving things. Now, this vacuum that we had, it was a big vacuum, and I haven't seen these here, which we had carpet there, so it kind of makes sense. But it was a big, strong vacuum, and so it had a light on the front of it. So she would sit on the vacuum and ride the vacuum. And so she came to really enjoy the vacuum. So she would take rides on the vacuum with me while I was vacuuming. And then as she got bigger, she would want to try to use the vacuum. And I also just encourage, there's a lot of, sometimes you can get little brooms, little pretend vacuums, just play cleaning supplies for them, because that way you can give them something. If they have this little tiny broom that they're sweeping and you're sweeping with your big broom, it just helps to train them, and they like it. It's like playtime with mom while we clean. So I did that a lot, and then what we would do is I would turn on music, and we would play worship music, and we would dance and sing while we're cleaning. I would also turn on a timer, and so for each zone. So I would set a 15-minute timer, and I would say, okay, we're going to get ready. We're going to clean. Look, here's the timer. We got 15 minutes. So we got to clean this living room up as quick as possible before that timer goes out. We have to beat it. And so we would do this together, and they loved it. They thought it was great. When that timer went off at 15 minutes, I was done. I was done with that zone. It didn't mean that the whole place had to be spotless. I was done with that zone. We went to the next zone. And that kept the upkeep around the house. That was helpful. It also got them trained to use the timer and clean, to where eventually the kids would race each other. So I started out with just me and them, training them, and then I would turn on the timer and say, okay, I'm going to clean zone one. You go clean zone two. You go clean zone three. We're going to set the timer and let's see who wins. Okay? Now, did they get a prize? No, it was only bragging rights. However, when I was preparing for this week, I asked my youngest child, I said, what was one thing about cleaning the house when you were like young that you liked? She said her favorite thing was the timer and racing her siblings. And so things like that, you don't think of like being a big deal, but it does encourage them and it trains them. And when you're a part of that, it's like you're a part of that game. So that was another thing I did. I'm trying to think of all the different chores that we did. Oh, another fun, I try to change it up every now and then. So I'm going to grab one of these papers. So another fun way that I cleaned with my kids, I would take a blank piece of paper and say if we wanted to spend more time in one of these zones. Okay, and let's say it's the living room, okay? So I would take this paper and divide it into areas. And then I would write different tasks on each square. I didn't really write just now, but so it could be pick up toys. It could be dirty dishes. Okay, that doesn't mean wash the dishes. That means just get them out of that area, okay? So dirty dishes. It could be fix pillows on couch or fix blankets on couch. Because when you're thinking, you have to think about how old your kids are. So when you do this list, you want to make it to things that they can do, okay? You can't be like having a three-year-old get the cobwebs on the ceiling, you know? Although sometimes they do like that because they get the really long stick and they feel like they're that tall or something and they get excited about those tasks too, just saying. And then what we did is we took this and I would tear it up into these parts. And then I would take whatever we had, if I had a hat or a bowl, and I would put all of these in a bowl. And we'd mix it around. I'd set a timer for 5 minutes. Most of these tasks take like a minute or 2 minutes that I would have on there. However, 5 minutes gave them a little extra time, and then whoever won, like that was the yay. So we mixed it around, we would pull out a task. Now, if the three-year-old pulls out the task that you know is like kind of hard, then you trade. You just say, oh, let me do that one, you do this one. Let's swap, you know, unless they want to try, and then you say, okay, go for it, you know, and then see what happens. You're the one that makes the tasks, so keep that in mind. But even if, like, say the three-year-old, there's papers, right, and it's your papers. Say it's your Bible study, you know, so it's there. And she gets pick-up papers. There is something that happens with a child and their responsibility level that they feel, like, so honored, and they feel older to be able to go over and pick up, like, mom's papers and move them over to such and such table or desk or whatnot. And so just keep that in mind because it's part of you're building them up. You're encouraging them. You want to let them know, like, they're doing a good job. So the timer goes off for the 5 minutes. You look and put that one aside, and then you go for the next one for another 5 minutes. And my kids loved that. It was a fun way to clean. We did that with lots, like every room. I would say I'm trying to think of ages. We did go through a stage in, for 19 years, I took care of my house and taught my kids how to take care of the house. And then the Lord brought us to Myanmar. And I felt like everything just like surrounded me and overwhelmed me. And it was, I felt like I could no longer shop on my own. I felt like I couldn't cook on my own. I felt like I couldn't even do my own laundry. I felt like I didn't know how to clean. I was so overwhelmed because the environment was so different than what I was used to. I also, when we moved there, I was very judgmental because I had read books of missionaries and how they would hire local people to help. And so I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm going there to bless these people. I am not going to hire them to do my laundry and help me do things that I'm capable of doing. I've been doing this for 19 years, all on my own, without any help. we never lived by family. So raising my kids, it was me. And I didn't have help. So I didn't understand that concept. Well, the first time in the market, it was hard. I didn't recognize any of the food. I didn't know how to cook anything. And I loved to cook. And I didn't understand, like, how can I not know how to do anything? And so I lasted 6 months in Myanmar with trying so hard to do everything. Also, I homeschool. And at that point, I had all of these ages where I was homeschooling. And so the laundry was backed up. Everything was a mess. It would take, there you had to get your groceries or your food that morning. You had to go to the local market, buy from the market, come home, wash everything you bought, and then prepare the food, wash the your plates, your dishes, everything. So I was spending hours in the kitchen. And so after 6 months, I told my husband, I was like, okay, one of two things need to happen. Either I take care of the house and we eat and we have clothes to wear. That's option A. Or option B, our kids have an education. Like, I can't do both. Like, so either we eat and I work on the house and the kids just don't do school, or we don't eat and it doesn't matter what we wear because we're going to have no clothes and our kids, I get to educate them. I couldn't do it all. And that's when the Lord really humbled me and humbled my heart, and I repented and asked for forgiveness for any judgmental parts that I had with you know, judging anyone that had help. I also in that time saw that we lived in a local neighborhood. So all of our neighbors where we shopped, everything, it was all Myanmar. It was all people from Myanmar. And I saw they all had helpers. So then it was like, oh, it's not just like the foreigners that have helpers. It's like everyone has helpers. This is how you live here. You need help to be able to survive. And also a thing I noticed is that there was about 20 people living in all these houses, you know? So it was like they not only had helpers, but they had like a whole group, a whole village living with them, helping them with their kids. And it was just me and my house. And so at that point, I did get help. And she was a huge blessing to our family. And I was able to educate my kids. And I had help. Now, what happened with that is two of my kids, were the first one moved off to the States. He got to the States and he was visiting with grandma for the first couple months before he went off to college. And he woke up in the morning and went downstairs and looked at grandma and said, what's for breakfast? And grandma says, I don't know, what are you making? So then his laundry would get piled up and he'd bring it to grandma. Like, I need laundry. Like, I need clean clothes. And she's like, well, the washer's right there. So my mom had to teach my son. Now, when we lived in America for all those years, I had the kids cooking with me. I had the kids cleaning with me. They knew how to do everything. But that 5 years of them not, like, I don't know, those were the teenage years, so he must have forgotten everything. I'm not sure. But my mom had to teach him how to make an egg, how to cook for himself, how to clean up after himself. She taught him how to use the washer and dryer. And so then I learned when we came to Thailand, I need to train my kids. And so today we do have someone helping at our house once a week. She comes and it's like she just helps me stay on top of things. She goes through and cleans, like deep cleans. So we do everyday cleaning, and my girls know how to clean. They know how to clean a bathroom. They know how to do all these things. They know how to do the laundry. Because I was convicted by the Lord of, it's my responsibility to raise these children up, to teach them in the way that they should go. And now in that time in Myanmar, we were in a season where that was needed. So I have no regrets with that. However, now I'm back at having my kids clean. They need to know how to clean, because I didn't want to make the same mistake of, as they go off on their own, them not knowing what to do. And so training them up is so important, and preparing them for the world is important. Those are mainly all of the tips that I have to share with you today. And then we are going to, I want you guys in your groups to take a piece of paper, and I want you to write down on that paper the zones in your house. Now, when you look over, if you look at that app or you look online, she might have zone one as the entrance to the house, and that's okay. Don't number your zones. Just write them out, like bedroom, living room, kitchen. So write that out on one piece of paper, and then we're going to do another activity together. The other activity is, I want you to do what I did here. Take a piece of paper and divide it into sections, but I'm going to come down to the table to fill out the sections, okay? But let's close in prayer, and then we'll have our table time. Father, thank you so much for today and the opportunity that you have given us as moms, Lord, and as wives, and as homekeepers, Father. It's truly an honor, Lord, to be able to take care of our homes, to bless others with the homes that you have given us, Lord, and that we would use our homes to glorify you. Father, help us to do that, Lord. Please encourage all those that do need help in these areas, Father. Encourage them and walk beside them in doing so, Father. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.